Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Welcome in to Slapshot Radio on Nashville's best sports talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. You know, we're just not letting this whole little thing like this coronavirus stop the hockey talk. And tonight, we're going to be going down on the farm. This is Max's favorite segment. He loves the opening to that. Going down on the farm, brought to you by Cool Springs Wines and Spirits, with our good friend, the voice of the Admirals, Aaron Sims, joining us. We'll dig down to talk about our favorite hockey lines from history and why. No, it's not lines from Slapshot. Actual lines of players that played together that had really cool nicknames. It's all brought to you by Day One sponsor Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry, Carter Church from Weichart Realtors, the Andrews Group, your real estate expert in Murfreesboro, and of course, the largest wine and spirit store in Middle Tennessee, Cool Springs Wines and Spirits, and our friends at Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries, with 3 locally owned and operated locations in Middle Tennessee. I'm Paul McCann. Our co-hosts are former NHL coach and player Brent Peterson and the host of the Preds Watch Party, Zach McCann. Brent joining us from his, I think he has like a booth set up. And he's just kind of sitting. It's kind of almost like that Michael Jackson hyperbaric chamber, I think. So, Coach, how are you tonight?
I'm doing very fine. Doctor won't let me leave the house, so I'm really, really bored right now. I watch a lot of hockey games, a lot of old hockey games. My wife, there's a game on 1950. My wife asked me very seriously if I'd played before or after that, but it was 1950. It was a pretty good game. It was the Maple Leafs against the Detroit Red Wings.
Well, you could actually guess the play. You should actually guess who played in that game, and you'd have a 2-6 chance of being right on either of the teams.
Exactly.
The coach joining us from his isolation, his quarantine, as the case may be, and joining me in the studio, the Palatial Wholesale Incorporated Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Zach, how are you this evening?
Oh, you know, prying myself away from Animal Crossing enough to come and actually talk about some hockey.
It is. We're what, 12 days in? And it's been all. Thursday will be 3 weeks since the last home game, and you know, I'm kind of jonesing a little bit. I've been, you know, watched the game last night, the replay of the Phoenix game, or the Arizona game, excuse me. And man, Saturday, if you didn't tune into 102.5 The Game at some point on Saturday, do you know, Zach? Do you know what you would not have heard?
Well, you wouldn't have heard Chelsea Dagger anywhere.
That is for darn sure. 4 games. And that's all it took, that wonderful 2017 sweep of the Chicago Blackhawks played here.
You know, it was funny, as someone who was living in Chicago during that and that wearing his Predators jersey all around town. You know, I used to host a podcast with a good buddy of mine who's a Blackhawks fan. We called it Central Divided, and we did a post-sweep drunk recording of a podcast that turned out to be a lot of fun. You can find it in the archives on SoundCloud. I might have to
listen to that one. That was that could be interesting. Interesting. So a couple of things to talk about right off the bat, Coach. You know, the business of hockey still keeps on going, even if you are not you're not able to play. A couple of signings this week for the Nashville Predators, and actually a big one today as far as prospects go. And we're going to talk more about that signing with Aaron Sims in our second segment. But a couple of prospects get signed this week. Patrick Harper signed, you know, we've seen him in the rookie camps, Coach, and Patrick Harper finishes his NCAA career a little bit earlier than he expected, but the Preds signed him to a 2-year entry-level contract, and obviously going to be going to Milwaukee right off the bat. But Harper showed well in the couple of rookie camps that I can recall seeing him.
Yeah, I saw him only one night, and he looked okay that night. And these guys that they're signing right now are guys that are just finishing their NCAA or junior careers, and they're all and if we were playing right now, he could come up and play in Milwaukee. But he's going to be a good solid player, and he's going to They just signed. They're signing these guys. They're the best drafts who have the best years. They draft all these guys in the seven rounds, and then if round seven is better than round one for the year, they wait a little bit, and then if round two and round three, they get these guys signed right away so that they're in the fold and they're on their entry level contracts right away.
And Zach, the other signing this week. An interesting one from the University of North Dakota, Cole Smith signing a one-year two-way deal for next season.
You know, I had to go to our resident UND hockey expert in the family,
yes.
Andy Franklin, who, you know, is the youth hockey coordinator for the Nashville Predators, and of course my brother-in-law, who is a huge North Dakota Sioux fan for some reason, and he was telling me a little bit about Cole Smith's game, says he's kind of a big bruiser type of defenseman, and kind of is someone that we're lacking a bit in the pipeline right now, so it's certainly interesting to see him get signed. Gotta say, I do really like the Harper signing. That's a guy who has a pretty high potential, really nice ceiling. He was on pace to have his highest point total yet in his college hockey career. He was second in points to another Predators prospect by the name of David Ferentz on Boston University this year. So you could just kind of call Boston University Nashville North, I suppose.
You really see a Boston and Nashville connection. I mean, you know, Dante Fabreau. Now you're looking at Patrick Harper. I mean, this is a
Colin Wilson
and Colin Wilson, of course. Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. So you know what, Coach, when you see this player, you know, finishing his 4 years at Boston University at a 14-goal, 37-point season this year that, you know, did help. He did get third-team Hockey East All-Star honors. This did match his career high. This is a player that kind of followed that interesting, really good freshman year, then kind of bottomed out a little bit in his sophomore and junior year and really picked it back up come senior year. This is a good role player prospect for the Nashville Predators.
Well, Dauber Prospects, who is a really, really good, you know, site for looking at prospects in the NHL, has Patrick Harper as a top 6-4 with a high scoring ceiling. And I mean,
wow.
That's certainly something that you want to hear about a guy you just signed to an ELC. And their observations back in February have Harper as having a bounce back season that he needed and on pace for his best season yet before the Terriers this year. One thing they really praise is his defensive game, coming back with a plus 13 this year. And if there's one thing Nashville loves, it's a defensive forward who can score.
Oh, no question about that. So, I mean, Scott Nickel was fairly effusive in his praise upon the signing, calling him a dynamic player with size. And Coach, that's one thing that this team has certainly missed. A little bit of extra size certainly doesn't hurt this Nashville Predators prospect pool.
You're exactly right. I mean, we were looking at, you know, having four and five small guys, and you can have two or three of them, but you have to have some big guys around them to help them out and just do the corner work and those kind of things on the wall. And sometimes guys get hurt and that, being on the wall, the little guys. Like what happened to Arvey the last few years. He's had great years for us, but he's got hurt at the wrong time or hurt in the playoffs or whatever, or burnt out in the playoffs. I'm not saying he can't play anymore, but we're going to need some bigger guys coming in as we go on in the future games, for future years for the Predators.
Well, and one of the things, Coach, that you really like to see about Harper is this is a guy with international experience as well. Not only 4 years at Boston, but 2 years, representing the United States at World Juniors, winning a gold in 2017, winning a bronze the following year. This is a player that also has that international experience that certainly pays off as well when it comes down to development, Zach.
Absolutely. I mean, these are the kind of players that you want to see go through your system. You draft them, they have those kind of upswing mentalities, and then you sign them to ELCs. This is the exact track that you want your pipeline to go on, where you have your players develop, you talk to them throughout the entire career, especially when they're playing college hockey, and this is a system that really enjoys college hockey prospects. So you look at that, and this is kind of the mold that you want to follow.
Well, and then you turn to really the big signing news of the day. Of the week in a lot of respects. Connor Ingram, who came over from the Tampa Bay Lightning, the third-round draft pick of the Tampa Bay Lightning in the 2016 draft, really never fit in with that Tampa style, I guess. I don't know, but certainly had a problem right off the bat in that, to the point where they literally traded him to Nashville for,
like a conditional seventh or
something like that. And when
bag of puck.
Yeah, basically.
Almost, you're right. But Ingram completely lit it up in the AHL this year. You know, you love good players, but coach, somehow there's always something better about a good player with a chip on his shoulder and one that knows how to use it. And Connor Ingram this year really had a chip on his shoulder and showed well in the American Hockey League.
Well, you're exactly right. He was a player that Tampa Bay had drafted, and they had just for some reason just he was off their charts, because you know you got Vasilevskiy, and I don't know who's backing up for him next year, but I mean this guy was ready to play next year, and he'll be ready to back up within a year or two, and when Pega does retire, he'll probably back up UC, or he might meet UCL. You never know, because he's played really well for him. That's one of the reasons Milwaukee, and we can ask Aaron when he comes on, but it's one of the reasons why Milwaukee has had such a great year. Sure, they scored some goals, and they had some good defensive play and some good play, but the goaltenders have been fantastic for them. Both of them have played about an equal amount of games, and they've just played great for them. So that's always good to have. You can never have enough goalies in your system.
Yeah, never be too rich, too thin, or have enough goaltenders. And when you look at the stats, Zach, I mean, you're looking at a guy that, you know, appeared in 33 games, had 31 decisions, 21-5-5.
Yeah, that's okay.
I'll deal with that.
Not too shabby.
And then when you look at, you know, third in the AHL in both save percentage and goals against, tied for third in wins, I mean, and a little bit of size to him too. He's 6'1". So yeah. a little bit more size to him, which may be a slight advantage over UC Saros, but I've always been a big believer in that upward pressure on the roster never hurts, especially when you've got two players really pushing each other at the same position.
Well, just look what they did this year. UC was ready to play, and Pekka had a downturn, and then they both played together. They played almost for a month there. They played almost every second game, and then Pekka got hurt. But, I mean, UC's been pushing Pekka for 2 years now. It makes Pekka better, and now UC's sort of number one, and Pekka will be pushing him along, and next year it might be Connor, it might be somebody like that pushing him along. So it's never bad to have that situation in your organization.
And we're going to talk more about that with our guest in the next segment, Aaron Sims, the voice of the Milwaukee Admirals. Now, before we go there, I do want to talk to you about our premier sponsor of Slapshot Radio, Doctors Jane Bacon and Aileen Kruger over at Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry. You know, during this time, it's difficult in the medical industry. There's no question about it. But understand, when you go to Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry, your safety and the safety of their staff is paramount. A great staff, a comfortable environment. They do make it a lot easier to get all your dental needs taken care of. If that wasn't enough, all the latest in dental technology as well. You need to check out their website at WeBrightonSmiles.com. Call them for an appointment at 615-872-7762. That's 615-872-7762. Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry. We brighten smiles.
And now, Slapshot Radio takes you down on the farm. A monthly look at the Milwaukee Admirals.
Brought to you by the good folks at Cool Springs Wines and Spirits, featuring curbside delivery during these social distancing times, also featuring bulk order delivery. Make sure you check them out. Boy, the Cool Springs Wines and Spirits, I took advantage of their curbside delivery yesterday, and man, it was great. You pull up, you call them saying, hey, can you bring my order? They bring it out. They swipe your card right there. Good stuff. I'm telling you, Cool Springs Wines and Spirits, the place to go. Going down on the farm where, the barn's kind of empty right now, but we're going to talk anyway to our good friend. We're happy to have him back, the voice of the Milwaukee Admirals, Aaron Sims. Aaron, welcome back to Slapshot Radio.
Guys, good to talk to you. Very good to talk to you, and it's nice to talk about hockey at this time.
Well, one of the things that we wanted to talk about, and you're on with Zach and, of course, Coach Brent Peterson. You're good buddy. I know that you guys go way back.
That's right. Yeah, indeed.
So, Aaron, let's talk a little bit about Connor Ingram, because obviously that's the story of the day. Three-year reasonable deal. Two-way the first 2 years, and a one-way the last year. $750K each year. I mean, outrageously reasonable for a guy that has just absolutely dominated this season.
He's been magnificent. He's third in every category, you know, the big ones, wins, goals against, average, save percentage. He's been magnificent, and I truly believe that if he's let one bad goal in this year, that might be it. I can't think that there was one single time, and the Admirals have been fortunate with both he and Troy Grosnick this year. There haven't been a lot of bad goals, but I don't know that Ingram has let more than one, maybe one. I don't think he's let more than one in this season. He's been magnificent. It's reminiscent, and coach. Well, all three of you guys can talk about this, but coach especially when Pekka-Rinne came back to Milwaukee in the 07-08 season, his third and final season in Milwaukee. I believe the goal back then was for Pekka to play 60-65 games, and he ended up playing, I think it was 65 for Milwaukee that year. In the anticipation that he would get a heavy workload in the 08-09 season for the Predators. And I guess I don't know any plans, to be honest, because everybody is gone and nobody's talking. Obviously, you know, I don't have the access to the people that I used to. But I wouldn't be surprised if that's the plan. You sign Connor Ingram for that long. He does 1 year of next season, let's say, that he's playing 50 games, the majority of the games. If he's ready the next season, then that's great. If he's not, you're still on that two-way deal. And by year number three, you're hopeful that he is a regular somehow in the National Hockey League after Pekka has presumably retired.
Coach, what are your thoughts on that?
That's exactly right. I mean, everybody knows Pekka. We had Pekka called up about four times, and he kept getting the snowstorms every time he got in there. He never got up there. And then Danny Ellis went for a big run there, and that's why he didn't come up that year. But Pekka, you know, he spent time in the minors. He spent quite a longer time than we want him to, but he was down there and he did a great job for him. And that's exactly what Connor's been going to do probably next year. And Peck will probably play one more year, maybe two, you never know. But like you said, the third year he's got the one way, and that's when he's ready to go. He's almost ready to go now, I think, but we just have UC ahead of him and Peck's contract. So we'll wait and see how he does. And if he continues to go at this pace, we might have to do something with the juggling of the goaltenders. But he's going to be a great goaltender. Like you said, he's third in every stat there is, and he's just a solid goaltender. His quality, he's 6'1", and UC's a little smaller, so he might have a little bit tougher time than that. But Connor's going to be a good goaltender, and I'm glad we got him. We stole him off of Tampa Bay for sure.
On the line with the voice of the Milwaukee Admirals, Aaron Sims. Zach?
You know, Aaron, looking at Connor Ingram, there seems to be kind of a new school attitude to goaltenders today, and it seems to be that kind of Jordan Binnington-esque swagger. And I mean,
sure.
Connor Ingram seems like he got kind of a reputation for, you know, being kind of a problem in the locker room. What have you seen from him this year to dispel those kind of notions, other than just stellar play?
Yeah, I don't see any of that. He's phenomenal. He's a funny guy. He's a fun guy. He enjoys his teammates. His teammates enjoy him. Troy Grosnick told me, and Troy Grosnick has been around the league for 5, 6, 7 years, and Troy told me that Connor is, if not his favorite, he's certainly in the top couple of his goaltending partners that he's had. So, I mean, the guys appreciate him, you know, and then on top of everything else, he stops all the pucks that he has to stop. So, he's been magnificent, you know, and that's, you know, really the most important thing. But I tell you what, this could be, I mean, we talk so much about the Marty Erat, Philip Forsberg deal, right? This is it maybe not on that level, but it was a swindle. It was a heist. I think it's going to prove to be that the Connor Ingram deal is going to be one of the great steals in Nashville Predators history.
You know, you do look at it, and Aaron, I completely agree with you, because I really think, I don't know what scout, what executive, what person in the Tampa Bay Lightning hierarchy kind of soured on Ingram, but it's fascinating to see. And I asked Coach about this a little bit earlier. When you've got a player with the talent of a Connor Ingram, combine it with a chip on the shoulder.
Right.
This is, and here's the thing. I think Ingram has used, you know, obviously a chip on your shoulder can be a good thing or a bad thing. And I think Ingram has used it to his absolute most positive way he could, to basically say, no, I'm going to prove you so wrong. It ain't even funny.
I think you're right. I don't know. He has not talked about what happened in the Lightning organization, and that's fine. That's his prerogative, obviously. But obviously something went awry. I mean, when he tweeted today, he thanked Orlando and he thanked Milwaukee and he thanked his junior team in the Western League. He didn't thank anybody else for his trip. Now, obviously you don't necessarily thank, that group because you're signed with a different group at the time, but it was interesting, nonetheless. Like you said, something went awry. Somebody was upset with something. I think it had to have been off ice because certainly on the ice. Last year he played 22 games in the American Hockey League. He was an all-star. He tied for the league lead with 6 shutouts in 22 games.
Wow.
2.25 goals against average, .920 save percentage. I mean, those are numbers that are going to get you to the National Hockey League. And somewhere along the way, it soured. And I don't know if it was a coach's relationship or if it was higher up than that, but the Nashville Predators will reap the benefits of whatever went wrong in that organization, in the Tampa Bay organization.
Hey, Paul?
Yes, sir.
Paul, I'd like to ask Aaron one question.
Go for it.
How's Toivonen coming along?
It wouldn't be a segment if we're not talking about Elli Tolvanen. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Well,
you know what? He's been fantastic. He hit 20 goals here not long ago. It seems like we played a year ago.
Yeah.
It's only been 11 days, but it seemed like a year ago. But he hit 20 goals. He has been terrific. I think I've talked to you guys before about we were in, I think it was early November. Mm-hmm. Early November, we were in Montreal, in Laval, and we ended up going through Belleville, and then we flew out of Toronto. And I was sitting with head coach Carl Taylor in Toronto. This is back in November when the puck wasn't going in for Tolvi. And Carl said, I've got zero issues with Elli Tolvanen, and he has been magnificent. And he's been penalty killing. He has been blocking shots. He's been bumping guys. We've talked about this before, too, I know, guys, but that's not why he's here. He's not here to be a penalty kill guy or anything like that, but he has really jumped his game, his whole game, his all-around game. It is a bit reminiscent of a guy like Forsberg who kind of came over and maybe had some offensive ability, obviously, but might have needed the final sandpaper to round out the edges. And Tolvi, I mean, again, he's just 20 years old now. He had a magnificent season. He has had a magnificent season here in Milwaukee. I hope, like heck, it's not over. But if it is, he can be very proud. And you got Yakov Trenin, who is certainly a contender for a roster job next season. I don't know what's going to be up there next season, but I would think that Elli Tolvanen is in the mix for a job in the top 9 next year for Nashville.
Well, you look at that, obviously, Aaron. I mean, Tolvanen, you know, that's one we've been talking about for a couple of years now.
Sure.
But the one that I thought was a surprise, and Zach, I don't know if you were going to ask this or not.
I was.
Go ahead. Then you go ahead and ask the question.
No, sure. The other one that I wanted to talk about was someone who did something that hasn't been seen since Victor Arvidsson did it, and that's Rem Pitlick scoring 20 goals as a rookie. What about his game?
It's interesting. He played a little left wing. He played a little center this season for the team. I think initially they thought he would be better at left wing, but he has produced at center. He needs to work on his faceoffs and all of that. But you know, he scored 20 goals again. Something you mentioned that Victor hasn't been done since the 6 years ago or 5 years ago when Arvi did it in Milwaukee. He's had a good season, and he is a skilled player. He is fantastic the way Carl Taylor and so many teams, right? You have the guy down low on the power play, and you have a bumper spot and the wings in the Ovechkin spot and a defenseman up high. And Pitlick has been in the bumper spot, and he has reaped the benefits. And the reason he's in that bumper spot is because he skates very well. And he has been all season, he's been very good. Now, like a lot of college hockey players, he hit a dip. It's a lot of games for these guys to go through and a long road trips and all of that in the American Hockey League, in the NHL for that matter. So he hit a dip like many of the college players do wherever you are. But he started to bounce out of it like the rest of the college players here in Milwaukee, and things were looking good again for them. So and that, coincidentally, that was when Pitlick moved back from left wing to center. To play when Daniel Carr was injured for a bit. So
car came back and that bumped around back to center and it started to click. So I don't know where his future lies. Perhaps it's at the wing because there's so much responsibility at center and so much more skating, but Pitlick can handle the skating. So I'm curious to see where his future, where his position will be, because I'm excited to see where he goes from here.
Aaron, we're up against a break, but I do want to ask you mentioned him a little bit earlier, and Yakov Trenin, a guy that I know in Nashville, I know a bunch of us were kind of like, why are they sending him down? But it was to get him more top 6 minutes. I absolutely get that. But, one thing really kind of stands out to me from a stat perspective, besides being more than a point per game in the A this year, but that shooting percentage, I mean, he's 28.2%. It's unbelievable. Now, are we just seeing things fall into place for him? Or is the eye test kind of matching up, saying he's just taking advantage of what he's got?
He has been there, too. He was terrific this season in Milwaukee. He was deserving of everything he got in the National Hockey League. Let's remember here, he was a second-round pick, so he was a highly thought-of player coming out of the Quebec Major League. He had two ghastly injuries playing in the Quebec Major League before he turned professional. So it took him a little bit to get up to speed. This year he was up to speed. And that shooting percentage, a good chunk of that is his presence in front of the net. He goes to the net and he'll deflect the puck. He'll get the rebound, things like that. He's big enough. You guys saw how tough he is and how rugged he can be. I said this a few times. To me, he looks like a young man who has figured out what his body can do this year. And I think that's exactly what happened. He has positioned himself. I mean, he's 6'4". He's 210 pounds, whatever. He's a solid young man. He has a solid right, which Zdeno Chara found out about.
No kidding,
So that's a big part. When you look at the shooting percentage, I guess, to cut to the chase, it's because of his willingness, his guts, and his skill to stand in front of the net and put the puck in.
He's the voice of the Milwaukee Admirals, Aaron Sims, going down on the farm, brought to you by Cool Springs Wines and Spirits. Aaron, we hope like crazy we get to talk about some Calder Cup playoffs. But please take care of yourself. Send our regards to everybody up in Milwaukee, and please stay safe.
Oh, yeah, thank you. All of you guys, too. Stay well, stay safe, all the best to your families, and let's talk some hockey real soon, hopefully.
Absolutely. Aaron Sims, voice of the Milwaukee Admirals, and some good information about some of the prospects we're going to see in Predator Gold fairly soon. We will be right back. You know what we're going to talk about next? We're going to talk about some of our favorite hockey lines, and I already know what one of Zach's. I already know that, so I'm not going to steal it off you, Zach. I'm not going to take that from you.
You don't know. I mean, it might be one. I got a few. So.
You may go someplace different. But anyway, we will be right back right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. There's Max asking the musical question, what you going to do? It is Slapshot Radio on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And you know what? We kind of have turned this third segment into kind of almost the pop culture hockey segment on Slapshot Radio. And, Coach Zach, I really would like to know, let's talk a little bit about our favorite, when you look back over history, what our favorite hockey lines are.
I mean, mine's easy and actually comes from one of our co-hosts.
What?
Absolutely. I think Brent Peterson had one of the greatest lines in hockey history, and I think we have that ready. Max, do you have that pulled up?
Martin Jones plays it over for Braun. Wilson stops it. Comes out for Ekholm. Stop! Rebound! Fisher scores! Mike Fisher scores! At 11-12,
that's got to be it, right? Brent Peterson's primal, guttural scream of "yeah" is the best line in hockey history, correct?
Zach,
wrong line.
I love the line. And I do.
Wrong kind of line.
Yeah, I think it is.
Ah, man, I gotta do better about that.
And I gotta set the record straight, though. I was doing the game with Pete Weber, and it was our sixth period. It was three overtimes, right?
Yeah.
Pitcher scored, and Crispy was upstairs standing behind me when he scored, and he grabbed me and he pulled me right down, and I had to scream with my eyes falling, and I was falling down.
I thought he goosed you or something.
It was all Crispy's fault, anyway.
As per usual.
It is always Crispy's fault. So, Okay. Anyway, so
we've become a soundboard show.
Yeah, by the way, exactly.
We're pivoting.
Pretty soon, we're going to pull out the Doc Emmerich soundboard.
Yeah,
there,
exactly.
You know. Anyway, so you know what, Coach? I'd like to ask you. I mean, you look back over the history of this game. There's some great lines. Is there a line that really sticks out to you? One that you just look at and say, "Wow!" I'm watching either growing up. Or as you were coming up into the league, is there one that really stuck out to you?
Yeah, I had a few, but the one that really stuck out was Trece, Bossy, and Gillies were the one line that really stuck out to me. You know, they won four cups, they dominated for years, and the Oilers were just coming of age, and they beat the Oilers even when the Oilers were first place overall and won the President's Trophy, they beat them another year, so they won four straight. So that's a pretty good line. And the other one I had was Guy Lafleur with Steve Shutt and Jacques Lemaire. That was another good line. Ooh, Montreal won five cups, and so those are two pretty good lines, I think.
Yeah, the Trio Grande line. Yep, from the Islanders. That was a good one. Zach,
I think the conversation begins and frankly ends with this line. It takes a lot to finish 1-2-3 in scoring.
True.
And this line accomplished that back in the 49-50 season. As loath as I am to talk about a line from the Detroit Red Wings, you got to talk about the production line. You got to talk about terrible Ted Lindsay, Bootnose Abel, and of course, Mr. Hockey himself, Gordie Howe.
One of the more amazing lines, there's no questions. And you can look at other ones. You know, the skyline from the Penguins. Always look at that. Personally, you always talk about the, obviously where I grew up. You know, you talk about the Broad Street Bullies. But honestly, the LCB line on those championship teams, when you're looking at, Reggie Leach, Bobby Clark, Bill Barber, I mean, okay, it was just their last, the initials of their last names. But, what an incredible scoring line from that Flyers team. Now,
I mean, for me personally, if we're talking favorite Flyers lines, and it's got to be because, prior to being a Predators fan, I grew up a Philadelphia Flyers fan as well. And it still pains me to this day to root for the Eagles and the Sixers and the Phillies. But at the same time, I got to talk about the Legion of Doom. You know, you talk about players like Eric Lindros, John LeClair, Mikhail Renberg. I mean, what a line that had them in perennial contention throughout the years in the mid-90s.
You know, but when you honestly look at that, and Coach, I mean, you look at some of the great line names throughout history, you look at some of those, but I'm sorry, I don't think there was a better line name than the Legion of Doom. And it not only, but, and it also described the physicality of that team and the absolute lethality of that team with John LeClair being able to score at will, Coach, and the physicality of an Eric Lindros. What an incredible line.
Yeah, they were not only Legion of Doom, but Lindros kept getting hurt with a concussion because he got hit so hard, but they did a lot of damage before he sort of got his head softened up a little bit. But over the years, the Legion of Doom, they were tough. We used to go down there, and Hitchcock was the coach at the time that we were there.
Yep.
When we went one time, and sure enough, his whole plan was get the puck down low and let our 6'8" guys do the job on us. And we had 5'6" guys, and they had giants, but they were just tough. LeClair could go to the net. Lindros was a monster. He's a Hall of Famer already, and so that's a tough line. But I picked my lines on cup wins because the two lines would be close. But the one line that I was Taylor, Simmer, and Marcel Dion. They were the only line that really stuck together the whole year.
Yep.
For example, Gretzky. We haven't said Gretzky's name once, and he's the greatest player that ever played. He only played with Curry, and they had a second left winger that just sort of rotated around all the time. Him and Curry almost did all the work out by themselves.
True.
And then you had Messier and Anderson. So they never had the full lines in Edmonton, but they certainly had some great players that played on those two lines.
And that Triple Crown line. Mm-hmm. I mean, and Pete Weber will tell stories about that Triple Crown line, that Marcel Dion, Dave Taylor, Charlie Simmer. And I mean, That is the first line in NHL history where each player scored 100 or more points in the same season.
Yeah, it was a heck of a line. It was a good line. But what about the French Connection?
Oh, there you mm-hmm. go. Now you're talking the old Buffalo Sabres line: Gilbert Perreault, Rick Martin, and Rene Robert. I mean, you know, obviously three French Canadian players playing together in Buffalo, and that was the line growing up a Flyers fan in the 70s that we always went up against them. You know, in the 75 Cup. I mean, it was just that Buffalo team just never could quite get over the hump.
Now, you know,
they tried to put the fog in there for you, but it didn't work.
Yes.
Now, here's the thing: if we're talking about nationality lines, and of course the French Connection, legendary, but you got to go with the Wizards of Oz. You got to go with the Red Army. You got to talk about the Russian Five.
Oh, the Russian Five.
I mean, that was like watching a video game when you're talking about players who just were absolutely dominant, with Sergei Fedorov, Slava Fetisov, Slava Kozlov, Igor Larionov, and Vladimir Konstantinov, all five on the ice.
How do you, I mean, Coach, you coached against a lot of those players. I mean, you know, how do you prevent your team from just sitting back and just watching the artistry?
Well, you prevent them because you say if you stand around, you'll look silly and look stupid, so you better get working hard. And our guys always did a good job on them. Even though we were just, you know, we just gotten in the league that year, we still got a chance to play against them. And they were all great players. I mean, they were later in their careers when they came to the NHL, but they were still there, great players. And boy, could they ever pass the puck, and they knew where each other was going. The guys in the rest of the Red Wings used to tell me they should just get out of the way and let those guys go at it.
Well, it's fascinating. And if you want, now I know hockey fans are always looking for good hockey movies to watch. First mm-hmm. off, ESPN did a good 30 for 30 on the yep. Russian Five. But if you yep. really want to get down deep, we had the director of this documentary on Slapshot Radio a few years ago. Look for a documentary called Red Army. It is, yeah, it's kind of the, one. Have you seen that, Coach?
It's excellent.
An outstanding movie, and it is the story of the 1980 Olympics, but it's not about the Miracle on Ice team. It's about the Russian team and what right. happened after and how they were able to finally get to the National Hockey League. Phenomenal movie. It's called Red Army. You may want to check that one out. You know, there's one other line that I want to bring up here, and this is another classic line, another one from, you know, from a little bit further back in National Hockey League history, but it's hard to mention. You have to mention at least one Montreal Canadiens line, and that would be the punchline featuring the Rocket and Toe Blake. I mean, you know, again, a legendary line. When you've got, you know, a trophy that is named after somebody on the line, plus, you know, Elmer Lotch and Toe Blake, two of the reasons why the Rocket scored what he did. I mean, when you watch some of the old film of that line, and you actually, Coach, if you watched a game from 1950, you may have even had that line in there, didn't you?
I think it was Toronto and Detroit that year.
Oh, but Toronto.
I was one of the only games in our only series in the whole century or the whole decade that they didn't win, so that was the only one. But like you said, Toe Blake, I was a little bit too young to watch him play, but I did see the Rocket play. He was a great player, boy.
Oh, absolutely. Amazing stuff. Well, fun stuff to talk about, great lines from history. And, you know,
well, maybe we can talk about some modern lines in the next segment. Huh?
We could do that. Yeah, absolutely. We can do that because we've got one more segment here on Slapshot Radio. We'll be right back on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Slapshot Radio on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Paul McCann, Zach McCann, Brent Peterson coming at you. And, hey, I do want to take just a second to talk to you about our good friend Carter Church over at Weichart Realtors, the Andrews Group. I'm telling you, Carter's really keeping things going during this time of isolation and time of, you know, social distancing, all of that good stuff. He is still working hard, making sure that houses are being sold, houses are being looked at, getting so creative in what he's doing. You got to make sure you check him out. The marketing experience you need to get your home sold or bought in this fast-paced market. Call Carter today at 615-429-2044. That's 615-429-2044. I mean, after all, when you start looking at all of this stuff, if you're stuck inside your house, you might as well get it ready to be sold. I mean, you know, he can tell you what you need to do. Carter Church, your real estate professional, if you're buying or if you're selling. It's Slapshot Radio here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, talking about hockey lines. But I do want to bring up right now, before we get back into that, it does look like that the 2020 Summer Olympics are going to be postponed. It's not completely official yet, but they are preparing a postponement for the Summer Games. And you know what, Coach Zach, I look at this as a positive for the fact that if the NHL is able to get things back together and get back on the ice by, say, oh, I don't know, late May, it gives them the ramp and the runway to be able to go ahead and have a full playoffs and award the Stanley Cup sometime in late July, maybe even early August.
Yeah, because the NHL won't be there, so it'll be a perfect time. And given that, instead of giving them 3 weeks off for to go to the Olympics like they had to do before, they only get 1 week off, and away they go, and we get everything done that we need to get done.
And the interesting piece also becomes, remember who the broadcast partners for the Olympics are?
That'd be NBC.
And CBC.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're looking at that, I mean, now the conflict that would inevitably have come in from a television perspective now isn't an issue. So it's going to be fascinating to see how this develops. We'll certainly keep an eye on this one because I think the dreams of getting back onto the ice by the time the playoffs are scheduled to start, I think those are dashed. Those are gone.
Yeah.
Now, you know, the reality is they've been able to get the playoffs done in a 7 to 8 week period previously. They've done it in strike shortened seasons or lockout shortened seasons. So I think that's a possibility as well. So I'm not quite as negative on whether this is going to happen or not. I'm not quite there yet. Now, would it surprise me if it doesn't happen and we go the entire summer and maybe even the NFL season is at risk? No, it wouldn't surprise me either, but it's going to be interesting to see what happens over the next couple of weeks. So, Zach, let's get back in. You wanted to talk. Let's talk a little bit about modern. You know, we went all the way back to the punchline, the production line, all that kind of good stuff. But now when you look at, I mean, I just look at Predator lines that were popular. My own personal favorite was always the Vowel line.
Mm.
You know, Denis Arkhipov, Martin Erat,
Vladimir Orzog.
And Vladimir Orzog loved the Vowel line. That was always a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a great one. I believe it was Arnett, Dumont, and Radulov, was it, on that top line?
Sullivan.
Yeah, Arnett, Dumont, and Sullivan. That line was electric as well. Though, honestly, I think the best line in Predators history comes from more recent time. I think the Jofa line's dominance over the past few years, and especially on that 2017 run, cannot be understated. I don't think Predators fans had seen a more dominant performance from a line.
Yeah, they played very well, and the only other line I can think of that was any close to being what they were is Erat, Legwand, and Korea. And they were a good line for a good year for us. But we never won with them, so we won, but we didn't win the big thing that you needed to win, that big trophy. So
yep.
That's what you got to go by, and that's why we ended up having to trade. We just had to trade Erat for a guy named Forsberg. Other than that, we're doing good.
Yeah, okay. And Washington Capitol fans clutch their pearls again. But, you know, it is fascinating when you start talking about that because I can, you know, you remember the transition. And, Coach, I mean, you were behind the bench during this transition. And I've always wanted to ask you this, so I'm going to go ahead and ask right now. When Paul Kariya came to this team, watching the team adjust to that skill level, how do you do that as a coach? Because there were times when I saw players, the puck would end up on their stick and they would look like, where the heck did that come from? And it would come from Paul Kariya with just an amazing pass or an amazing vision of how to get the puck to another player. How do you teach a team to react to that level of skill?
Well, it all starts with his preparation, and nobody prepared better than Paul Kariya for a game, for a practice even. He always made practices funny. He shot pucks down the ice at guys' skates and they hit him, and then guys would have to be all knowing what's going on around him. And he just started with his preparation during practices and during the days off. He prepared himself. He was all hockey. He was all business. Great guy. But he came and he made David Legwand become a good player. He made Marty Erat become a good player. He pushed them hard. You could hear him on the bench going, guys, we've got to be better. Let's get going. Get skating, Leggy. Let's go. And he was just and then he did it himself. He went out there and did it himself. He was great on the shootout. We started the year 8-0 that year after we signed out, coming out of the lockout. We started 8-0, and then we had some injuries at the end there where it sort of hurt us against San Jose. But it was a great line, a great team that we had those years, and he was just a perfect guy for our team at the time.
Fascinating, interesting insight there, because I can remember just watching and looking at passes just show up. And it's funny because you mentioned making David Legwand a more complete, a better player. I absolutely agree. I think Correa's time in Nashville was also coincided with Legwand's best performance as a Predator.
For sure. And not only that, but everybody. He made everybody better, because he was a quiet guy in the room. He didn't say a lot, but he was adamant about having good ice and adamant about being that Pete Rogers did his skates. Only Pete Rogers could do his skates because he did them in the right way. And it was just little things that you didn't think about. But he spent the whole summer one year learning how to juggle balls. Hmm. He said, I pick something every summer and I do it until I'm good at it. And he's unbelievable kid, unbelievable guy, just a great person. I really miss seeing him around here. It's too bad he lives out there in L.A. County, and he ends up surfing every day.
Well, that's going to do it for another hour of Slapshot Radio. Don't forget, tomorrow night, Game 3 of the 2017 Cup Final, going to be rebroadcast here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And then Thursday night is a TV sync-up. Same game, both on Fox Sports Tennessee and on 102.5 The Game. Thanks for joining us on Slapshot Radio. We're back next Monday night at 7 p.m. A big thank you to our guests, the voice of the Milwaukee Admirals, Aaron Sims, and, of course, our sponsors, Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry, Carter Church from Weichart Realtors, the Andrews Group, Cool Springs Wines and Spirits on Moore's Lane in Cool Springs, and Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries, three locally owned Middle Tennessee locations. When you visit one of our sponsors, please make sure you tell them you heard about them on Slapshot Radio and thank them for their support. For our producer, Max, our co-hosts, Brent Peterson and Zach McCann, I'm Paul McCann saying good night and good hockey.